Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Daily French Show. I'm going to be your host today. My name is Mabuni Maja, and I am joined by Herman Pretorius. And we're going to jump straight into the stories today, starting first with a little bit of a tiff that happened on Twitter earlier today. Now, I'm not a fan of when news media just picks stories out from whatever's trending on Twitter and pretend that that's newsworthy. But I think you'll find that this is actually quite relevant in today's climate, specifically with regards to the EFF. So it happens that a few EFF members were mobilizing on Twitter to have Mbuyiseni Ndlovu elected as the EFF deputy president. And some of those discussions that were happening on Twitter were almost like threatening towards Julius Malema, saying that he, and I quote, "Julius and all his deployees must not dare start a war with branches. That war is a very difficult thing." And in response to that individual, Julius Malema replied on X, formerly Twitter, "Try me, boys." And they did not renege. They continued on saying that, and I quote, "Some people think they're untouchable, but we will show them that they're not. If you ever thought that you're untouchable, just know that it's a lie. We are on our way still, and we will touch you." A few hours after that, this individual was located, his branch from the respective EFF branch to which he belongs was also found, and so was his membership. And he soon found himself being issued a suspension letter. Actually, not a suspension letter, an expulsion letter. So his membership from the EFF has been terminated. I did want to say that the expulsion reads as a suspension because they go on to tell him that he can't do this or that. But quite frankly, if his membership's been revoked, he can do whatever. And I wanted to talk to you, Herman, about the story because I've never quite understood the appeal of the EFF to its members. And you cannot distinguish or separate the ideology because I think ideology flows from leadership and leadership rhetoric and leadership tone. And he comes down very hard on his members for nearly disagreeing with them and even trying to mobilize against not even him, but the EFF deputy position. They're trying to make a bid for who should become EFF deputy president. But Julius Malema had other plans. Talk to me about what you make of
Yes, as usual, the socialists' plans aren't very good, because the problem here is that managing a party is managing people. People think it is very grand and it is very ambitious and it's very strategic and tactical, and sometimes it's all of those things. But for the rest of the time, for 80% of the time, running a political party is about being able to have relationships with people, especially during after elections and before elections, because amidst the adrenaline of a campaign, we do sort of see political parties suspending humanity. If you've ever worked on an election campaign or know someone who worked in an election campaign or spoken to people, you understand that the pressures within that campaign is immense. And then you can get away with perhaps being a bit dictatorial, saying, "This is the strategy, we need to win, this is how we win, this is the message, stay on message." So in a campaign, that could work. And as long as the EFF was this perpetual campaign machine, whether it's pay back the money, or all the way to that very successful march last year. Oh no, sorry, that wasn't so successful. But when the EFF was a campaigning entity, you could excuse it with its sort of dictatorial nature. The problem is, the EFF find itself in a new political environment where it has been out-radicaled by MK, where it has already lost one of its most prominent members to MK, when it is when Malema himself warned that they're going to lose more people to MK. It's no longer the adrenaline rush of being the insurgent radicals. It's now a question whether the EFF can adjust to being a bog standard, boring political party that manages its branch, manages its finances, makes sure that there's enough pencils and forms and tables and water bottles and umbrellas and gazebos just to survive as a political party, because that's the space they're in now. They are no longer the opposition to either the ANC or the DA. They are a secondary party, something that they've never been before, because MK has stolen their radical insurgent shine. And Malema could have gone one of two ways about this, either learning and adjusting or doubling down. And we see him doubling down. We see that the initial tone of reconciliation, accommodation, almost regret of Floyd Chivambo leaving the EFF, that's disappeared. It is now all-out war. You're either loyal to Malema or you're out of the party. And the problem is, that's how morale sinks. It's not a good strategy. It is indicative of a leadership that is under immense pressure, that is frankly paranoid. And it's not a good sign when there's an alternative home for Afro-socialist radicalism, where people can just go, I don't want to belong to that party anymore, either as a member or as a representative. So Malema, we are seeing something very special. We are seeing a once prominent political leader dig his own grave in real time.
Absolutely. One would also think that these young EFF members are tearing a page from Julius Malema's own book. I mean, he was a very young, zealous, energetic, revolutionary man back when he was in his ANCYL heydays. And yet he is coming down very hard on upcoming EFF leaders who are seeking to deploy some of those tools, some of those ways they learn directly from him. He's not very much in favor when the elements of war are being pointed against him.
And we'll move right along. After your third national election, you're no longer the new kid on the block. And Malema was the new kid on the block. But if he's got any self-awareness, which I doubt, he would understand that a decade in power is about the sort of shelf life you can realistically expect for any party leader, whether it's Mbeki, whether it's Tony Leon, give it a decade, decade max. He's done that. If I were him, I'd retire graciously, but I'm not him, so we've still got popcorn.
Let's move on to a different kind of strong leader. Mr. Lesufi, according to News24, reportedly said that he leads a better government than Ramaphosa. He was saying that Gauteng and his government of provincial unity is operating a far better government than President Ramaphosa's government of national unity, where he says the party sometimes, open quote, speak differently in contrast to his, where they speak in one voice. When he was asked further about this to elaborate, he said, it's not in my terrain to pass or cast aspersions on the government of national unity, but every week we read people who say something that we really believe should be said within the government. And he compared some of these stories of the GNU and the spats within the GNU making it out into the public to his appointment of Rise Mzansi's Gauteng chairperson, Vuyiswa Ramokgopa, as acting premier, saying that he didn't brief her, he didn't tell her, don't sign this, he gave her full power and prerogative, and that he believes that's how a government should run, and that they should all be open and frank with each other, regardless of where the parties emerge, and that that should not also be seen as an erasure of a political party identity, because they can wear the hats of their parties of origin and criticize, but that they should still work as a team. Speaking of morale and encouragement, that to me sounds very mature of Mr. Lesufi, in contrast to how we've seen some of the GNU disagreements play out in public. Herman, what do you make of this?
Well, the difference between the GNU and the GPU is that Panyaza Lesufi, the people who should wear multiple hats in his government of provincial unity, their party hats are very small hats. I mean, Rise Mzansi is to call them relevant would be something of a stretch. But the idea that you could have a minority coalition government that is so dominated by one party and then go, ah, well, it is more on message, more stable than this other party that is of 10 parties that is actually a majority coalition where one of the partners also is, you know, brings 22% of the vote to the table. To compare those two is quite disingenuous from Lesufi. It is political game playing to paint himself in a positive light and paint the GNU faction, you know, the Kile Mbalulas, the Cyril Ramaphosas, the David Makuras of the world, as, you know, a bit clunky, a bit weak, a bit naive. So we are ironically seeing inside beef within the ANC play out publicly, something that Mr. Lesufi seems to be against, but is quite shrewdly participating in. So the GNU is fractious. Of course it's fractious. There's no party with a majority, and the GNU needed the DA to come on board that sits on the other side of the ideological divide quite significantly. Mr. Lesufi does not have to deal with that. There's no ideological question marks hanging over his government for two reasons. Number one, provincial governments are essentially PR agencies. If you look at their constitutional competencies, it's limited. It's the allocation of funds for education and housing and healthcare. That's about it. Provincial governments are PR machines, and anyone who tells you differently is likely in a provincial government. So that's the first thing. It's an easier job to manage a provincial government. And then secondly, it is a provincial government that was negotiated in bad faith, designed not to include the type of contest of ideas that we see in the GNU. So whilst we would want to see a coherent GNU, I think what we're seeing is Mr. Lesufi just trying to wedge in these little stabs at his political opponents as him and his party prepare for a very unpredictable leadership election in about, 3 years' time from now, when Ramaphosa is no longer the president. Who will succeed him? Well, I've got a gut feel that a one Mr. Andrek Panyaza Lesufi might be throwing his hat in the ring.
Well, remains to be seen, and actually getting sooner to the election of the future president of the ANC. All right, let's close the show on this story. It's a meaty one. It's another one about how South Africa is licensed to its teeth. It's from Engineering News, and they report on Eskom reviewing NERSA's decision to issue 4 new trading licenses, allowing the distribution of electricity to other companies where these licenses were previously just held by Eskom. The story reads, in a statement released a day after energy regulator, NERSA's top decision-making structure approved trading licenses in favor of 4 companies. Eskom reiterated objections first raised during public hearings on July 18th. And its objections to allowing more than one licensee to provide electricity are objections to this provision being in the same area, arguing that the approval had been made in the absence of fully developed trading rules. It says Eskom's decision to oppose licenses shocked the market at the time, as the utility had failed to object to the issuance, which began in 2014, so 10 years ago already. And in response to this, a regulator member of NERSA, Nhlanhla Gumede, raised the fact that Eskom had objected to the issuance and offered various explanations to why it did not agree with NERSA. But he indicated that there was no legislative regulatory restriction on the number of traders, and noted that the Electricity Regulation Act encouraged competition, a principle that has been reinforced and amplified in the Electricity Regulation Amendment Act. I think that's the same act that saw the capacity of solar energy generation being increased, right? It doesn't seem like NERSA would be in any breach of its own rules or even some of the acts that govern electricity generation and distribution in South Africa. What do you think Eskom's problem with the issuance of these licenses is, Herman?
Well, fundamentally, Eskom has been immune from market pressures. Now, market pressures boil down to people voting with their money. if I've worked hard to earn a salary, I vote with my money every time I go to Checkers rather than Pick and Pay or vice versa. So every time Checkers sees me walking into Pick and Pay or Pick and Pay sees me walking into Checkers, they are thinking, we haven't won over Mr. Pretorius today. He's voting with his feet and he's not voting for us. So we must improve our offering. We must make it more attractive for Mr. Pretorius to come and vote for us with his cash. Eskom has never had to self-reflect on how it can attract consumers walking through the doors of a competitor. Instead, they've had this synthetic competition enforced on it through NERSA, because if you're going to have a monopoly by law, you can't be facing market pressures. So then, from a socialist perspective, to compensate for that lack of responsiveness to what should be consumer pressures, they have to conjure up another bureaucracy. They have to conjure up another regulator, give that regulator enough power to pretend to sort of cosplay as a competitor in the market. So NERSA's job is to force Eskom to perform as if it has competition. But the problem is that there's a far easier way to do this, and that is just to introduce actual competition. And this sort of licensing is the beginning of introducing that sort of competition. So, of course, Eskom will now have a problem with it. But it's almost more than that. It is, if you're going to give entities like Eskom, like NERSA, who are under the control of the government, the state, in some form or shape, the control over something so important to our economy as literally energy, and you're going to immunize them from the typical pressures that make Checkers and Pick and Pay offer attractive products and services, then you are going to end up in a situation where you have to compensate for that with regulations and rules and processes and licensing and certificates. And it's just going to slow your whole process down. 10 years ago, these licenses were granted. Now, these licenses are questionable because the rules they were granted on weren't valid at the time. So again, the rules, the law, the regulations, the state involvement, it's all based on this idea that the state is smart enough to plan and to accommodate the sort of pressures that improves the performance of SOEs and monopolies. And there's a much shorter route to those same quality assuring pressures. And that is open the market. Make sure that the consumers get the power to empower or disempower what's on the market, because we've got NERSA, a mess. We've got Eskom, a mess. Those two entities together, the power situation in South Africa, which is, you guessed it, a mess.
Absolutely. Competition actually works for us, the little people on the ground, because whilst Eskom is making a recovery and we congratulate them on that, its track record has shown that it not only has the ability to significantly reduce our quality of life as individuals and taxpayers in South Africa, that it can bring the economy right down to its knees. And we shouldn't continue limiting ourselves to a sole distributor of electricity when you can have multiple who are competing for customers who are incentivized as a result of competition to make sure that there's electricity constantly wired through our houses. So yeah, absolutely agree with you on that. Eskom is afraid of competition, which will only make Eskom better. So it's actually a benefit, a win for everyone, a win all around. That's a great note to close the show on. Stick around for more of the Daily Fringe shows. We bring them to you every single day, and I'm sure there'll be one tomorrow, even though Nicholas is away. Thanks, and a good rest of the evening to you.
The Daily Fringe Show and The Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR. Or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.